Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I am so appreciative of your time today. I know how precious it is, so thank you very much for allowing me to share some of it with you. And of course, welcome to the new subscribers. So, as some of you may know, this week I took a couple of days off at the start of the week. Now, they hadn't been planned days, but you know me, I like to walk my talk, and what was happening was I had gone through a big shift energetically, and I just knew my soul needed me to get grounded and centered and focused again. So I guess just to give you a little bit of a backstory there, I had been leasing a building for my practice. But then in March last year in Melbourne, we had all these really tight restrictions. I think it was something like, I can't remember. It's all such a blur, but I think it was nearly about 6 months or something. We were only allowed out of the house for 2 hours a day. So of course I didn't go down to the practice, but I was still paying rent on that building. Anyway, I had quite a very difficult landlord, it wasn't a really pleasant experience. I ended up also transitioning my practice from being mostly face-to-face to being 100% online, which was awesome. And my beautiful client stayed with me, had a 96% retention rate through the transition from face-to-face to online. So that was great. But I guess still having the pressure of that building being there. And then, as you may recall from previous episodes, ended up having squatters in my building. So my building it's in a low socioeconomic area. And apparently, I'm not sure, but it looks like somebody's managed to get a copy of the key. I don't know. I mean, we've been robbed twice, so it's possible. And the robbers were never caught. So it's possible that one of them has the key and has access. I don't know. But over the last couple of months, it seems that a group of people have been going into the building when I'm not there, and I don't know actually what they were doing. It looks like they were showering in there. They had taken speakers in there, furniture. I mean, it's just like they moved in, and it got to the point where I was getting nervous and anxious because I was, scared to go down to the practice, because with restrictions, it was difficult to go down there, number one. But then when the restrictions lifted, I needed to go down and check on it. But I always was nervous and anxious and worried that what if there's a person in there, and what if they hurt me, or what if they're not of, a sound mind? Like what if they're in a state of psychosis or something like that? Is a mental health clinic, and obviously healthy people don't squat in other people's houses, and what if there's more than one person there and stuff like that? And anyway, so it was really, really, I guess I had this protracted stress, and that was kind of in the background of everything while I'm running my online business and doing my podcast and writing my emails and making up new digital content for my groups and stuff like that. I've got all of this going on in the background, and I had to go down and check, and I should have been checking the building maybe every day, but I was just so scared. I was only going down two or three times a week, and every time I'd go down, I would clean the place up, and then I would go, back down again, and I would see, six different shoe prints big shoes. They I don't know. I can't make assumptions, but in my mind, I guess I thought they were men's shoes. I mean, just the size of them and the tread and all of this. It was super scary. And just to think, like, the audacity really of somebody to, you know, be showering and have their speakers set up and be listening to music while they were showering in my building. Like, I could have gone down there any time and walked in on the, oh, I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, it was super duper stressful. And then what happened was the lease was up on the 14th of February, which was awesome. But I left the deep clean and a little bit of handyman repair work until the Friday, Saturday. So the lease was up on the Sunday. And anyway, my handyman was due to come on the Saturday night. Or Saturday afternoon, my cleaner and I were already there on the Saturday, you know, making sure everything was good. And then that's when Daniel Andrews, the Victorian Premier, announced there was another lockdown. So then my handyman couldn't come. And then, yep, had to hand back the keys. The keys had to get sent back to the real estate agent because, of course, we couldn't travel. We're in lockdown again. So they just went by post to the place and the real estate agent, sorry. And then anyway, it's just been all of this drama with the real estate agent ever since. And I guess it probably just knowing things were coming to a close, you know how you kind of, it's adrenaline, isn't it, that keeps you going. And then when the end is in sight, you know how your body just kind of releases everything and then you get sick and you get tired and you get, you know, all of that sort of stuff. So anyway, I was just feeling really drained and there was 2 days last week that I was bedridden as a result of I just had no energy. I was completely depleted. And it was so weird for me because I've never felt like that. I was doing all the right things. I was journaling and I had my crystals and I booked an appointment. I've got this fantastic kinesiologist and she does kinesiology on Zoom. And so I thought, yeah, I'll connect in with her. And we did an energy healing and like almost, well, yeah, later on that day, I felt really good again. And she sort of said, hey, maybe you just need to give yourself a couple of days off. But I was upset because I didn't want to leave existing clients in the lurch or anything like that. But at the end of the day, I thought, no, I have to lead by example here. And I wouldn't want them pushing themselves when they're not 100%. And so I just trusted that by me being open and by me being transparent and saying, hey, I'm not 100%, so I'm just going to take a couple of days, that it would give them, in a way, permission themselves to take time when they were feeling a bit depleted or, you know, because I think when we're women running a business, running a private practice, we're so good at looking after everybody else and giving everybody else our love and our support that we leak energy and sometimes we forget to look after ourselves. I thought I was looking after myself, but I think what was going on without me being consciously aware was my body was obviously still in that stress mode. And now that that stress was starting to diminish as a result of that lease now being over, I no longer have the responsibility of the squatters in the building or anything like that. I think it was just like my body saying, okay, you can rest. Kind of like, you know how when you used to be working, like before you sacked your boss, how you'd be hanging out for those 2 weeks or those 4 weeks holiday that you were getting. And then you'd be so excited and you'd be counting down the days and then you'd start the holiday and you'd get sick. I think it was kind of like a case of that. So anyway, I took a couple of days off and I set up some health and wellness appointments in the country. And I stayed in South Gippsland in a place called Lock, and it was exactly what I needed for my body and soul. I caught up on some reading. I had kinesiology. I had physio. I had a counseling session online, which was awesome. I also had a nutritionist appointment. So, so that was all really, 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 really exciting. And then I spoke with my doctor, of course, and found out, this is probably an overshare, but I'm moving into the crone transition of my life, let's just say. And you know what? I remember women around me, older women around me, grieving about moving into that chapter of their life and, you know, really being so aware that they were seeing this as a great sense of loss, as, you know, something to be sorrowful for. And I guess part of me was wondering what I was going to experience when this began for me too. But I guess I'm just super excited because I feel like it's going to be this new chapter in, well, you know, like the evolution of who we are. I know it's going to happen to all of us, but I'm just so excited that it's my turn to go through this now, and I'm excited to see what's on the other side. And I really love the idea of the archetype of the crone and her having that wisdom and being able to hold that space. And so I'm over the moon. So anyway, I'm back. So yeah, I just wanted to share that with you. Although it's not really related directly to creating a private practice with soul, I think it is relevant because by sharing some of my journey with you, hopefully, you'll be able to feel like when these things happen, if they happen in your life and your practice, that it's okay. I don't want you to have any misapprehension that any of us is perfect and we've got it all together and stuff like that. That's just not true. And there's no expectation that you need to be perfect and have everything together either. The expectation is that you live your values. That's what authenticity is. That's what being genuine is. And, you know, that's what's happened here. I started to notice my energy draining after that lease was resolved. And then I knew to connect back in with those extra supports. On top of the ways I already support myself, I knew I needed extra supports at that time. And so that's what I put in place. You can call it self-care. I call it self-compassion. And it was by putting those practices in place pretty quickly that I was able to bounce back pretty quickly, be back on deck, already getting feedback from people. Wow, you're glowing and, you know, yes, you seem recharged and refreshed. And so, you know, it's safe for you to step back too if there's something happening around your practice like there was with me in the lease, or if even if it's something that's happening in your personal life, guys. You know, maybe it's a relationship breakdown, or maybe it's, I don't know, empty nesting or something like that. It doesn't matter. Or maybe it's financial stress and strain and that kind of worry. It's okay for you to have some steps for self-compassion. And I think one of the things that really, 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 really helped me was using one of the models that I use in supervision with my supervisees. And it's a reflective practice. And so I just make my reflective practice around some journal prompts, and I begin with, you know, the simple things. So basically it's 6 steps, and I want to share them with you today so that we can kind of normalize things for you too, but so that if in the future when you may need this guidance, it's here for you in our library. So the first thing I do is I get out my journal and I just write out a description of what actually happened, and I just put it in my own words and I free write. Okay, so just free write and just get it all out. It doesn't matter if it makes sense, if it's, I don't know, if you've got spelling mistakes or anything like that. The point is just to empty ourselves, like empty that beautiful vessel that's your heart and mind and body and soul, and get that all out onto the paper. And when you've done that, we can then move into, you know, this process of reflecting on, okay, hey, what was I feeling? And instead of just saying I was feeling crappy, or instead of saying I was feeling depressed, or I was feeling anxious, whatever it is you were feeling, imagine those easy to access words like those words that we use in everyday language, aren't available to you, and go deeper. You know, for me, I was feeling afraid, scared. What else was I feeling? Powerless, you know. I felt, as if I was at risk. All of those sorts of things came up for me. And after you've spent some time identifying the feeling or the feelings that were coming through for you, it can also be really, really helpful to make a note of the things that were going through your mind at the time, those things that you were saying to yourself, all that self-talk. Like, you know, am I safe? What am I going to walk into today? Is everything going to be okay? All of those sorts of things were kind of going through my mind. But they're just to give you an example of, you know, how you would identify what was going through yours. So you've got the first kind of two steps there. And then step number three, I usually just like to take a break for a little while and go for a walk and just clear my mind before I do this next step, because it really requires you to be, I guess, in that masculine energy. We need to like shift you out of feminine, pop you into masculine, because you really need to be able to now evaluate what happened. And by evaluating what happened, I'm really talking about looking at, you know, what was good about that experience and what was not so good, or you could say what was wanted and what was not wanted, right? So one way you could write this out is, yep, just in your journal, like, you know, in paragraph form or free writing. But another way might be just to fold the page in half down the middle and just put the good things on one side and the not so good things on the other side, or the wanted things on one side and the unwanted on the other side. So for example, with this situation I'm talking about, very easy to write down all the unwanted things, you know, having squatters in the place and, you know, the unwanted apprehension about going down there and the feeling like I want to avoid it, but I can't, you know, having to face my fears. and also too, I think also in that bad column or that unwanted column was a sense of not being supported by police, like, you know, submitting multiple requests by, you know, the online website form and not getting any response. You know, I'm all about women being equal to men and stuff like that, but I have to say, like, you do feel very unprotected and you do feel very unsafe, especially when you have to keep putting yourself in that risky situation. There's nobody there to help you. So anyway, writing the bad stuff came quite easily, but writing the good side of that experience really requires you to be open to the process. And so in this example here, what I can share came through for me about the good was, okay, the lease is over now. I don't have to go back there anymore. That place is not my responsibility now. I didn't get hurt. I was fine. The people didn't damage the place. The squatters didn't damage the place. I've got no idea what they were doing in there, but it's not like they graffitied the inside of it or anything like that. I mean, they didn't really damage it. They didn't, So that was good. It was good that I had the, you know, all of the things done. The deep clean got done, the gutters got done, graffiti removal on the outside got done, you know, all of that. That's done. I think another good thing is I'm no longer paying $4,000 a month for a building I'm not using. So that's good. That takes some pressure off. So there are good things, but you have to be willing to sit with it, because sometimes you're going to, I guess, cognitively know that you've got to get that balance between the good and the bad, but there's going to be part of you that says, no, I just want to feel the anger, or no, I just want to feel, anxious, or I just want to feel upset about it all, or, you know, I'm still processing it, and that's okay. You don't want to force any of this, but don't skip this step, okay? Maybe wait until you've done a grounding activity for yourself first, get centered, get focused, and then try and write out what were the positive aspects, as Abraham Hicks would say, of this situation. So you've moved through step three then, okay? And now the next thing that you can do, because you've done step one, two, and three, is you can now look at how you can make sense of that situation, you know, and this is the analysis step. So this is where your left brain goes to town and has a field day with this and just really tries to understand everything that's been going on, okay? And I guess for me, when I was trying to do a little bit of an analysis and make sense of all that situation that had happened, I guess, you know, my masculine energy was saying, okay, you know, you had an empty building. Somebody was clearly breaking into it on a regular basis, whether it was through a window or a door or however, the roof, manhole, I don't know. But they didn't do anything and, you know, we're glad it's over and stuff like that. That's fine. But there's also, I guess, the feminine energy part of me and part of my soul that then looks to, I guess, the people who were inhabiting that space when I wasn't there. And the easiest way for me to deal with that was to approach it from a place of compassion. So first of all, have compassion for the people who are using that space. Now, I don't know what their story is, but I would have to imagine if you take it upon yourself to squat in someone's building, but you don't damage it and you have showers. And I mean, you know, these people were using my kitchen and they were washing their bowls and putting them on the sink to dry and stuff like that. I mean, I have to have compassion for these people. I mean, who wants to be knowingly squatting in somebody else's building, knowing that they could get caught at any time, taking big risks themselves? I feel like they must have been in a pretty bad way to feel like that was an option for them. And so I do have compassion for the people that were using my space. I do. And then I think about my landlord. So my landlord was a real piece of work for the whole 12 months was a real piece of work. And it was unnecessary for him to say and do many of the things that he said and did. However, if I adopt an approach of compassion towards him, well, I can see that maybe he was just as scared as I was about COVID. I can see that maybe he was worried about his business, and he certainly knew mine had gone from being in his building to not being in his building. So that would have been scary for him. And I know it would have been uncomfortable for him too to worry about whether or not I was still going to maintain my obligations and responsibilities to repay the rent. So I feel like I do have compassion for him because I can see that it would have been a scary time. I just wish he'd handled it a little bit differently. And I wish I had handled it a little bit differently. It was a stressful time for lots of us. And then I have compassion for my clients because it was a big deal for them to go from being in the building to being online, and I'm so proud of them all for doing it. I mean, we only lost a few clients. It was nothing, and not it was nothing like that. What I mean is, in terms of the conversion, we had a really high conversion rate, but I have so much compassion for the people who were able to make the move, but also for the ones who couldn't. You know, their health and wellness required more face-to-face intervention than I was able to provide at that time. So they needed to be managed. Those referrals needed to be managed and they needed onward care. And so I have a lot of compassion for them as well, as their treatment was interrupted. So, and then of course, the fourth person is myself. I have to stop and have compassion for myself as a single woman, you know, single in terms of I'm a sole trader. It's a company that I've got, but it's only me in the company at the moment. And yeah, just completely doing it on my own, no husband or boyfriend or anything like that backing me up. And, you know, if I have compassion for myself, I have to say, holy smokes, like you've really done a lot and you've had so much on your plate and you've handled it. And I'm proud of you for being able to do that and flourish and thrive in the throes of such a tumultuous time, as it was for all of us. So you see how that process of analysis, I just use one of my values, of course, is compassion. I'm just saying, of course, because I think I've shared it with you before, but one of my values is compassion. And so when I can use my practice value as a filter for analyzing, you know, a difficult situation, that really helps me cope and see things differently. When I'm able to shift from a traumatic response, shift from an anxiety response, shift from a space of feeling powerless and things like that over to a space of compassion, the whole energy shifts. And when that energy shifts, it lifts. And when your energy lifts, you begin to feel better. You know, there's that, you know, your vibration is associated with your emotion. You know, there's a saying, emotion is energy in motion. This is what we mean by vibration. So when you can, you know, fear is a lower vibration than compassion. Compassion is almost right up there with love. So when you can shift your emotion from something that's a bit heavy, right, and oppressive and things like that, and you can start to shift up that scale, what you'll start to experience is you'll start to notice yourself feeling a little bit lighter. And that's an amazing thing. And when you understand and you apply this for yourself and you have the experience of doing this for yourself, because I can give you this information, but it's not going to land for you until you practice it. So do bookmark it in case you need it later on. Okay, and then we move into step five, which is really looking at, okay, what else could I have done in this situation? And when I look at what else could I have done, initially I was thinking, well, I feel like I did everything. So I had to walk away from that and come back, which is one of the things I do. Like I love to just go away and reflect. But I guess what else could I have done in that situation? I still don't know. I feel like I did as much as I possibly could. But maybe I could have taken other people down to the practice with me so I felt a little bit safer. I don't know. Maybe I could have upgraded my security systems, but it was the end of the lease, so I didn't feel that was really an option. But I certainly learned about, if I take a lease on in future, what to look out for. And then the last step is really about creating that action plan for yourself. And that's kind of what I was just alluding to a moment ago in terms of, if this same situation arose again, what could you do differently based on the experience that you've just had? And this is a really important step, because this step takes the unwanted experience from being unwanted and heavy and hard and all those other yucky emotions that we can all feel, like guilt and shame and resentment and all of that. When we move through this process and use things like compassion, use things like looking at what else we could have done and having a look at what could you do next time if this situation arose again, helps really take that energy to a place of empowerment. You feel empowered now because you have processed everything. You've had a look at what went wrong, what felt good, what didn't, what you learned from it. And when you make that action plan for the future, it takes you from powerless to empowered. It takes you from feeling out of control to putting you back into control. It takes you from being uninformed and unaware to feeling informed and aware. And all of those things help you develop your confidence, okay? Because you're building competence, right? And when you're developing confidence and things like that, again, we notice that you've shifted that energy from what's not wanted to something that is wanted. You've raised your vibration. You've got yourself out of that low place. And that's what we're really aiming for when we're looking at building and maintaining and developing a private practice that's fueled by your soul, okay? That's fueled by an awareness of the understanding that your energy is contributing to how you show up in your business. It's contributing to how you market. It's contributing to how you show up with your clients. It's contributing to how you implement your policies. All of those sorts of things are heavily influenced by the energy that you have on the day. So the six stages are describing what's happened, really look at what you were feeling and thinking, evaluate, you know, look at what was good, not so good, or what was wanted, what wasn't wanted. Have a healthy analysis of the situation by stepping back. Really allow yourself to step into the place of witnessing what happened. Draw a conclusion for yourself, like what else could you have done? Use compassion, of course, and then make a plan for the future. So this six-step process that I use is actually based on a reflective cycle of practice by Gibbs. So you can go and have a look at that if you like. But if you find that you're coming up against it in your practice and you're needing a little bit of support or something like that, reach out anytime. We can connect in the groups or we can connect on email. I'm here for you. You're absolutely not alone. And as I said before, it's one thing to kind of know all of this in our heads, but it's another thing to actually practice compassion. And I think that it's something that's so powerful. And I want you to know that if you find yourself in a space where compassion is warranted, that you have every right to express it for yourself, that you are not less deserving or less worthy or less good or less of anything. In fact, you're more because you're recognizing it and you're going to experience your own growth and expansion as a result of allowing yourself to embody this process. And how beautiful is that? Why wouldn't you want that for yourself? Okay, guys. Thank you. That was a bit of a long one, wasn't it? Yes. I think next time on Wednesday, if any of you have an idea of something you would like to hear on the podcast, let me know. And I will go with whatever you email me. And yeah, if you want to listen to the podcast in categories, so I don't know, maybe you're marketing or you're learning about alignment and things like that. I've put them all into little bundles for you. It's all free. You just go online and you register like a little account and then you'll be able to see all the little bundles of episodes that I've put together for you. So no matter what stage of the practice you're in, you'll be able to go and listen to all of those and just binge on them if you like. And nearly all of them have action steps, just kind of like today's one did. We went through those six steps. Because my goal is to help you experience those transformations in your practice. And I'm trying to lead by example. And so I'm not going to be that podcast host that just tells you all the good stuff. You get it all with me. but we can have a much lighter one on Wednesday next week. Thank you so much for listening. Have a beautiful weekend and I'll talk to you later. Bye, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding your processes and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.